the Cinema Judge!
Hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the Cinema Judge. Let me briefly tell you what we do here. We love movies. We like to share movies with you. The studios, they send us interviews, clips, all kinds of things, and we put it together. We present it to you, the jury, and you make up your own mind. Because any movie is somebody's favorite movie. We all come from different walks of life, different experiences. There's no way I could tell you not to like a movie or not to see a movie. I'm not going to sit here and yell and complain about Hollywood or this actor, this actress. None of that. Leave that to the professionals. I just like to learn about a movie. And whether it's a big budget, little budget, or in between, I just like to hear about a movie and everything involved in it. And that's what's important to me. I want to share a movie with you and we can just learn about it together. Because it all comes down to just one little simple thing. We all want to spend our hard-earned money wisely because we all want the same thing, an enjoyable movie experience. Now, approaching the bench today, we have Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, and it stars Antonio Banderas, Selma Hayek, Florence Pugh, John Mulaney, just to name a few. Now, here's the story in a nutshell. Puss in Boots discovers that his passion for adventure has taken its toll. He has burned through 8 of his 9 lives. He sets out on an epic journey to find the mythical last wish so he can restore his 9 lives. Now, what we have next is this. We have a featurette. Now, in this featurette, you'll hear from everybody, from the cast, the directors, everything like that. And they're just going to be talking about this movie. Usually I have a trailer, but sometimes you get these nice featurettes that really sum it up really well. And that's what I'm going to have you, listen to right now. Here is a featurette telling you all about Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
I am Puss in Boots. I laugh at death.
I am known by many names. The Stubby Tubby, El Macho Gato, The Leche Whisperer.
I am Puss in Boots.
It's amazing to bring Puss in Boots back to the big screen. It's just nothing but a joy.
There's a charisma that Antonio does perfectly.
Welcome to my fiesta!
This will revolutionize Trump. Watch!
He's bigger than life in everything he does.
Hey! This is a party! Where's the music?
All of the thrill and all of the adventures. Oh my god, I absolutely loved it.
The legend will never die!
Puss in Boots is on the last of his 9 lives.
It's the first time that he knows that death is a possibility.
The wishing star could get me my lives back.
But every fairy tale character are after this wishing star too.
I mean, you can imagine who wins.
I just love the smell of fear.
Hello, Mrs.
We're looking for the legendary Puss in Boots. Have you perhaps seen
him? Aldi, is this him?
Who is this guy?
I'm Puss's best friend.
And you are Soft Paws. Kitty Soft Paws.
Oh, look at her. Am I doing it?
It is more beautiful than you can imagine. It is
super fun.
What? What's funny?
It just makes you feel good when you look at life through a positive lens.
Adventurous, energetic, exciting, cute.
It was for me the most spectacular of all this time.
Hey, you want to see something cool?
Good people, accept this golden gift from Puss in Boots.
And all that glitters is gold.
You're still here?
Aren't I right? I just love those things. And at the end of the show, I'm going to tell you how to watch this if you choose to, because within that featurette, they have clips in the studio shots and everything else. So you're not just hearing it. But if you choose to watch it, I'm going to give you that website at the end of the show, because then it's a little bit more clear. But up next, we're going to hear from director and co-director. First director is Joel Crawford, and he's going to talk about what excited him about this role, about this movie. And then Juanyal Mercado, the co-director, also talks about the film.
Just something that right from the very beginning excited me about this project was the opportunity to tell a story that's both absurd and deep at the same time. Puss in Boots is on the last of his nine lives. And I mean, when you think about like a cat has nine lives, I don't even know where that started, this idea of it, but it's ridiculous. And it fits perfectly into the Shrek fairy tale world. At the same time, when Puss discovers he just has one life left and feels the weight of that, there's something very relatable for all of us as human beings who've only been gifted with one life ourselves. And that's what excited me about the promise of this project was it can be ridiculous and funny and fantastical and then really grounded and have a what I hope is a powerful message, which is a kind of celebration of our life, a joy of what we've been given.
Since we've last left Puss, he was just making a name for himself, just starting to become the legend. And where we pick up at the beginning of this film, he's very, very much into this legendary lifestyle. So at the beginning of the film, we see Puss living the life of a legendary rock star. But very shortly afterwards, he loses a life in one of his adventures, and only to realize that it's the last of his nine, or he's now on the last of his nine lives. So that kicks off the adventure of him trying to find this legendary wishing star so he could get his lives back.
Now that was director and co-director of this film, but up next, we're going to hear from the incredibly talented Antonio Banderas. And let's just list off some of his movies. The Mask of Zorro, Once Upon a Time in Mexico, The 13th Warrior, Uncharted, Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard, Doolittle, The Laundromat, Pain and Glory, and of course the Shrek films, Evita, Assassins, and of course, one of the first films that a lot of us were first introduced to him by, which was just wonderful, Desperado, which also starred Selma Hayek and directed by the master of action himself, Robert Rodriguez. If you haven't watched that one, check out Desperado. Fun, and it's just a joy to watch. And just one more reason to watch Desperado, Danny Trejo. What a scene stealer. Okay, I got a little sidetracked there. But in this interview with Antonio Banderas, he talks about his character, about he's lived a lot of lives, but he's lost track. And he talks about meeting the doctor and what happens there. Immediately after that interview, we're going to go to that scene that he speaks of, where he meets up with the doctor, and the doctor says, "You're down to the last life, my friend." Here that is.
Well, the doctor said, announced to him, "You know, you just died." He says, "Yeah, no worry, man. I just did many times in my life." I said, "Really? How many?" So he's just counting. And we see a scene, very funny actually, scene in which he's just going and remembering every time that he thinks he died. And at the end, he thinks that he's like four, five, maybe six of those. So he got three more life to go. And the doctor said, "No, that is eight. Yes, the story that you told me, if you count them properly, it's going to give you a number that is very close to the real end." Little by little, he start listening. First of all, the idea that actually the wishing star landed somewhere in the middle of forest. So he start having this idea of, maybe I have the opportunity to go over there and recover my lives.
Listen, doctor, thanks for everything, you know, but I am feeling great, strong, like a bull, you know? Now, do you know a good place to get some gazpacho?
Please, this is serious.
What is it?
Puss in Boots. How do I say this? You died.
Doctor, please.
Relax! I am Puss in Boots! I laugh at death! You see? And anyway, I am a cat.
I have nine lives.
And how many times have you died already?
I don't know. I never counted. I am not really a math guy, you know?
You are down to your last life. My prescription? No more adventures for you. You need to retire.
Me?
Retire? Are you the village comedian as well?
Because imagine that, your whole life, you've just been living wild and just totally free. But then you're told, you better pump the brakes or else you could be on your last out. And that's what I always like about these kind of movies that deal with either immortality or long lives. Because you would live your life entirely different if you knew, A, you could live forever, or you have several separate lives. It's a whole different mindset. The things that you could do, you know, are endless almost. I could take this chance. I'll do that. Us mortals can't do that. And we always living in fear. And I suppose if you get rid of that fear, you can do anything you want. So that's what's always intriguing about this. And that's what he's dealing with at this moment. He's been told all your carefree, free will and days are going to be over. And it's just an interesting place to be, I'd imagine. And I love to see how they explore that. Now, coming up next, we're going to hear from Antonio Banderas again. And he's going to talk about voice acting, about the difference of it and just everything involved. Then immediately after that, I'm going to do something a little bit different. And I don't do it often on the podcast, but I think it'll work. What we're going to have after his interview is him in the studio doing his voice work. And he's talking back and forth with the directors and stuff like that. I just find it very interesting. And if this blows, let me know. And I won't do it again. But throughout the show, I'm going to have this where the actors are going to be in the studio doing their lines. I personally love it. And I don't know if you will, but here the interview in studio time.
It's very difficult to describe when you are acting in a movie with your voice. You're just giving them your voice session after session. In voice that is not attached to any image at the beginning, you're totally free to just establish a rhythm in which you're saying your lines. So you can go in volumes. You can just touch a number of things and you just get an agreement with the director and different creators when you are doing it. But then when you start receiving the results, it was for me the most spectacular of all this time. I was in an awe of the subtleness, the little expressions that they were able to capture. There are details of real acting in these characters captured by these cartoonists.
Well, where am I? Where am I? Okay. Listen, Doctor, thanks for everything, you know, but I am feeling great, strong, like a bull, you know? And now, do you know a good place to get some gazpacho? Okay. Relax! I am Percy Boots! I laugh at death! Ha, 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 ha! You see? And anyway, I'm a cat. I have 9 lives. And I'm telling you, a cat always land on his feet. His watch! I like when he's drunk of milk. Well, you know, I am Puss in Boots, loved by one and all. Yeah, it's funny, actually. This is the moment of depression of my character. Do you mind? I'm trying to eat here. I mean, meow, whatever.
Come on, Rabbit.
Not happening.
Rabbit.
No, let me be clear. I don't want to touch your belly, okay?
Good.
I want to be left alone. I want to be left alone. I want to be left alone. Why?
Ha! Puss in Boots laughs in the face of death.
Bounty Hunter. Laughs in the face of death. Bounty Hunter.
Ha ha! Puss in Boots laughs in the face of death, Bounty Hunter.
What do you guys think? I enjoy it. If you don't think that's a cool idea to do it again, let me know, and I won't do it. But now, coming up next, we're going to hear from Harvey Guillen, who plays Perito. And he's going to talk about slightly about his character, that his character brings a little bit more light to the, you know, severity of Puss in Boots. And then we're going to hear from one of the directors, Joel Crawford, and he talks about tone and what both these characters bring to the film. And then we go back to Harvey, and he just talks about how it's just a dream come true to be in this animated film. And then we're going to go to a scene, and in that scene, Perito is talking to Puss in Boots, who's now in this, like, retirement home, He has a long beard, and he's just trying to talk to him. Hey, how's it going? And, you know, he confesses that he's not a cat. He's a dog.
I think it's important to have someone like Perrito in Puss's life because he can sometimes get cynical and very, not the friendliest cat, if you will, because he doesn't have time for it. He's adventure. He's a hero. And we need someone to even those things out sometimes in our life.
In establishing the tone in this movie, it was really important to make sure we had a broad range of emotion. On one side, you have this gritty spaghetti Western tone, this inspiration from grim fairy tales that can be kind of dark and scary. And we needed a ray of hope, a bright sunshine character that would really lighten up the movie and ultimately carry with him this joy that is almost infectious to Puss in Boots, to Kitty Softpaws, to anybody who comes in contact with him. That is Perrito.
The first time I saw the character design for Perrito, I think I got teary-eyed just because it's always been a dream of mine to be an animated character, and especially with such, you know, nostalgic story like Puss in Boots and the Shrek franchise and all of that, that was my childhood. So getting this role was literally a dream come true.
You're a talking cat? I'm a talking cat. Let's talk.
I'd rather eat.
Oh, not a problem. We can eat and talk at the same time.
No hablo inglés.
¿Hablas español? Yo también. Oh, ¿de dónde eres? ¿Te gustan las siestas?
I don't speak Spanish either.
You're funny.
Okay, good talk.
Oh, hang on. Pickles? Is that your name? I'm no expert, but you don't look like a Pickles.
Well, you don't look like a cat.
Okay. Full disclosure, I'm not a cat. I'm a dog.
Hi, Bamba.
Meow. Oh, Pickles has a new girlfriend?
You know, sometimes you don't know you need it, but sometimes when you hit rock bottom, it just helps to have somebody there just to bring a little light to your day, no matter how much they annoy you. But it's always a good thing to have somebody there. Now, up next, we're going to hear from Harvey again, and he's going to talk about doing the voice of this character. And just after doing it, it just brought him so much joy. Walking down the street, just it changed everything about him. But then right after that, we're going to do that studio thing again. We're going to have him in the studio delivering some lines.
You know, recording the lines for Perrito, I would always leave the booth just really positive and full of life. I remember just leaving and just walking. It was a sunny day. And even on days that it was like cloudy, I still felt this like vibe of goodness. It just put me in a good mood. And hopefully the character puts everyone in a good mood because there's just not a bad bone in his body. It just makes you feel good when you look at life through a positive lens. And I think we should all learn a little bit from Perrito.
Please. Please. Pretty please.
It's awesome.
Oh. I'm just buying some time for Team Friendship. Go, 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 run! Oh, this is great. Razzing and ribbing and barbing and pooping and snooting. This is fun. Oh, I wish I had a family like this. Speaking from one orphan to another, Goldie, you won the orphan lottery.
That guy just nails it. He's just in the studio, just giving it all. You gotta love that. Now, up next, we're going to hear from the incomparable, the amazing Selma Hayek. And she's going to talk a little bit about her character's relationship with Puss in Boots, and a little bit about Perrito. And then we're going to have a scene. And now, in that scene, now think back to these movies and also the Shrek ones, where Puss in Boots, he'd do that cute eye thing. Well, in the next scene that we're going to play, we're going to have Puss in Boots and also Kitty Softpaws both doing a cute eye standoff. And at the same time, Perrito, he's giving a little play-by-play going, oh no, he's doing this. is wonderful. Check it out.
I love my character of Kiri Sofpas, and I was so excited to have the possibility to be her again. And I had high expectations, so you always get nervous because it was such a good experience the first time. And the movie did really well. And it was fantastic because this time I think it's even like so much better. And she is sassier, bossier. Her stunts are even greater. And one of the things that I love the most about this one is the locations. And I know we don't go in real life to the locations, but the amount of imagination and exuberance and originality of the places where all these adventures take place are incredible. I think that what is very different about my relationship with Puss, it's still we're bickering and bickering and there's, you know, the tension between us because we like each other, but we definitely have problems with each other, maybe more this time than last time. But what enriches the dynamic is the third wheel. There's a third character called Perrito, and the adventure is now between the three of us, and he's just such an amazing character. And so we create our own little family. These three lonely people come together and create a family of their own. Kitty doesn't like Perrito when she meets him. Actually, she can't stand Perrito. But Perrito is one of these disarming characters that are just so good that it's annoying, but that eventually you can't help but falling in love with him. And let's face it, it's a dog. It's really hard not to fall in love with a dog, even if you're a cat.
The wishing star is in here somewhere. Kitty, may I please see the map?
No.
Seriously? You won't let me hold it for even 1 minute?
Nope, not even for 1 second.
Come on, Kitty. You've got to trust me.
Wait, what's going on with his eyes?
Oh, they're getting bigger. Oh, Kitty! You gotta trust him. Look at those eyes.
Really? You call that cute?
Oh, look at her. Those eyes are even bigger than yours. Do whatever she wants, Puss. Wait a second. So poofy.
No.
With the paws? Come on. With the hat? It's oh so cute. You can come now.
Can we look at the map now?
Now, coming up next, we're going to hear from Antonio Banderas, and he's going to talk about how Puss in Boots finds out eventually that he really needs these two people, Perrito and Kitty Sofpas, because they help him become a better him. And then we're going to hear from the director, and he talks about how Puss in Boots starts having almost fear because he realizes this could be the end. And then we're going to go right into a clip. Now, in this clip, Puss in Boots is at a bar, and in walks a bounty hunter. And it's a kind of like a, he slides a piece of paper over showing his picture, and it's that whole great Western thing, and it goes from there. Here it is.
With the help of these two friends, especially Perrito and Kitty, they're going to make him understand the real value of life that he took for granted before. Because he got many. But now that he got one, which is what normal humans do have, one life, you know, that he's going to get a beautiful lesson about that value of life itself.
The world has only seen the fearless hero, the guy who, you know, always has an answer for everything, a quip for everything, who will sing a song. And what happens to this guy who is hit by the fact that he is down to his last life and he feels fear for the first time. And he goes on this journey of vulnerability and in a way discovers more about himself And the audience alongside gets to see that and experience that. And that was something surprising from the very beginning, that we knew we'd get the comedy, we knew we'd get the return of Puss in Boots, but the depth that Antonio's brought has really been just incredibly impactful in the story.
I never do this, but can I get your autograph? Been following you for a long time. Sign right there.
Puss in Boots laughs in the face of death. Bounty Hunter.
So I've heard.
You will find your reward does not come easily. This I tell you.
Everyone thinks they'll be the one to defeat me. But no one's escaped me yet.
All right, let's get it over with. Spare me if you dare.
I just love the homage to Westerns. Because growing up, I was a massive fan of the spaghetti Westerns of Clint Eastwood. They were just magical. Whenever they came on, I was there. So to this film, it makes you just feel a little bit of that warmth of, man, I remember when those movies were something I really was pulled to. And now we get it in this form. Now, speaking of this form, the director's up next. And he's going to talk about how animation isn't just for children. And these stories aren't just for kids. These stories are universal. They speak to adults and everybody involved. And then we're going to go to a scene. And in this scene, Puss in Boots is at this giant like party. And then this giant, actual giant, walks up and he like grabs people inside the party and lifts them up. And Puss in Boots is like, no, I'm not going to have this. So he starts running and like the monster grabs this kid and the kid goes, I'm flying. And Puss in Boots goes, no, you're not flying. And then he goes over to the band who's playing and he gets on the guy who's playing the bass and he, you know, pulls the strings back. He jumps on there and he flings them towards the monster, or the giant, I suppose I should say. And the giant is running towards them. There's this great scene of them two, like Puss in Boots is flying through the air. The giant is chasing him head on. And all Puss in Boots has is his sword. And he's just pointing it straight out. And then the giant has his arms reached out. And then Puss in Boots goes, boop, right into his fingernail. And we all know, if you have a sharp object that gets pushed into your fingernail, I don't care how big you are, that's going to sting. So that's that. When you hear that from the audience, you know, from, you know, down below them, that's what it is. It's the giant getting that little prick in his finger. Anyway, check it out.
You know, art is about interpretation. And what's really cool about creating a movie that's that it leans on impression more than being literal, that you can connect emotions, I think, in a stronger way. And also, it allows you to have something that kids can access, but also adults feel the same. And, you know, something that we've always pushed for is that, you know, these movies aren't just for kids. Animation isn't just a genre. You know, it's a tool to tell stories. And we really wanted to make sure this story took you on a sophisticated journey and really helped you experience things unlike you're used to seeing in an animated movie.
Holy frijoles!
You awoke the sleeping giant of Del Mar! Play double time. Spanish Splinter!
See what I'm saying? It's a great scene. But if you really want to get the true appreciation for that scene, at the end of the show, I'm going to give you that website so you could watch it on the, you know, it changes it so much more when you could see it. But up next, we're going to hear from Selma Hayek. And she's just going to talk about the whole experience when she goes in for voice acting, when she goes in to do that character, and just what it makes her feel. And then to follow that up, we're going to have, you know, her in the studio doing her voiceover stuff. Then immediately after that, we're going to hear from John Mulaney, and he's going to talk about his character a little bit in the story. And then immediately after that, we go to him into the studio. He's great. Just check it out.
I remember waking up every time I had to go do it, super excited to go to work. It was always a great collaboration with the directors, and we always laughed a lot. They were very welcoming to ideas and lines and different interpretations of the lines. And sometimes I would come up with lines that were a little bit extra for the Latino market. And I was very happy to see that the directors, even if they're not Latino, they got my jokes. They got my jokes. And the audience really got it. And it was really lovely for me to put that extra layer into it. I thought it was going to be a wink to a certain kind of audience, but it turns out that all the audience love it. Soft paws. Kitty soft paws. There's no way I'm letting you hold that map. Don't you cross me, or your name will be Perro Muerto. For a dark forest, this place is pretty colorful. I wish I had my quinceañera here. I was the best thief you ever hired.
Jack Horner, formerly as a boy, Little Jack Horner, is the eponymous star of the nursery rhyme Little Jack Horner Sat in a Corner, a nursery rhyme that no one knows, and those who know it don't like it. It's not a good nursery rhyme. Little Jack Horner sat in a corner eating a Christmas pie. He stuck in his thumb and pulled out a plum and said, "What a good boy am I." It makes no sense. I mean, it doesn't, like, is he, like, should he, is he being arrogant? I don't get the point of it. I don't get any part of it. I don't like it either. It's a weird, also there's a full plum in the pie, not chopped up or anything. No one likes the nursery rhyme. Now, that's not just me talking. Little Jack Horner, now Big Jack Horner, is unpopular as a person in our magical world. He runs a pie business, no surprise there. But he's also a collector of magical items. And he's kind of a psychopath. Jack Horner, I'm telling you as the actor, will never be happy. He has an insatiable desire for more magic, thinking if he gets all the magic, he'll be happy. But he won't be. He definitely won't be. So his desire for magic is really just that he's a completist. He needs to have all of it.
Well, I'm not a magic locust. Why, I'm not a locust at all.
What are you then? Some sort of demon grasshopper? An evil fairy? Eat the forest then! Put a curse on it!
Well, I don't do curses.
Then what do you do?
Well, I judge you. I sit on your shoulder and judge your actions and the quality of your character. I'm your conscience.
I hate that! Man, I really did overpack. All right, magical locust. Defoliate, fly, and feast, and eat those flowers!
Well, I'm not a magic locust. Why, I'm not a locust at all.
Then what are you? Some sort of demon grasshopper from the netherworld? Some sort of evil fairy? Put a curse on this forest, then!
Well, I don't do curses.
Then what do you do?
Oh, I judge you. I sit on your shoulder and judge your actions and the quality of your character. I'm your conscience.
Oh, I don't need that at all. Oh, I overpacked. I'm not really stressing about the manpower.
Oh, get over here!
You see, I've got a bottomless bag of magic weapons. And these babies are gonna help me get that wish long after all these fellas are dead and gone.
Again?
And if, like...
Word of advice. Join the fun and stop being the way you are.
Now that's just great. I love watching artists do his lines over and over again, doing their own little takes on words, phrases. That's the one thing I love about these press kits. When they give me on the set, in the studio footage, that was John Mulaney. And he's just been in tons of stuff. I mean, he's a stand-up, Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse, and he's really known for the series Big Mouth. The guy is gifted. And up next, we're going to hear from Florence Pugh. Now, she is just skyrocketing. You obviously know her from the TV show Hawkeye in 2021 and Black Widow. But she's been in so much great work. Midsommar in 2019, Little Women 2019, Fighting with My Family 2019. She debuted in The Falling in 2014, Lady Macbeth, Outlaw King, the AMC miniseries The Little Drummer Girl in 2018, The Wonder in 2022, Don't Worry Darling also in 2022. And she's just going to keep on going. I just love to see where she's going to go. And we're going to hear from her talking about her character, Goldilocks. And then we're going to hear her in the studio.
When I read the few lines that it said about her and I saw the sketches of what they were thinking she would look like, she looked like this incredible kind of like pixie pirate with these big like boots on, these massive boots. And I remember I was with my mum at the time and I went, oh my God, mum, look. And I showed her and I said, it looks like me. And everything that she was wearing and everything that she was about, and she was this feisty, grumpy little sassy thing with a bow staff, was just incredibly entertaining. And I couldn't quite believe that that role had come my way. She's a very exciting character to be voicing. Yeah, she's very bossy and very demanding and very stubborn. I wouldn't say I'm quite as mean as her, but I would say that, you know, it's been a great experience being in the booth. And you are allowed to help out and create other versions to the scenes and add in lines and test things. And I think, having grown up in a very opinionated and loud family, it became very easy for me to be like, ooh, 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 what if she would say this? Or what if in the family dynamic they'd be arguing about this? And so you can kind of just pluck pieces from your own life and put them into this amazing, crazy family dynamic. And it worked. It was lovely. It was a great experience.
It's the legendary Puss in Boots. Get that cat. Well, if it isn't the legendary Puss in Boots, get that cat.
I like that. If it isn't. That feels more natural. Mm-hmm. Cool.
The star has only one wish to grant. Ha 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 ha. Oi! Ha ha! I mean, is this a roll?
Yeah, okay. I like the idea of a roar, some Goldie roar.
Roar! Roar! Hello, missus. We're looking for a cat. This cat. We've got an offer for him. Make her talk. Too soft. Too hard. That was just not right. Oi, baby, sniff him out. Oh, I'm telling you, when we get that wish, it will make everything just right for all of us.
I could listen to that stuff all day. The different pitches, everything that they do to create that character. And he gets to really realize why it takes so long to make an animated film, because there's so many different inflections they have to do, because they never know maybe where the movie's going to go or what tone they want for that particular scene. So when you're in the studio like that, they have to try everything underneath the sun. You just can't just read it and be done. No, you got to do it differently this time, a little faster, slower. I could do it all day. Now, up next, we have two really great interviews. The first is from Antonio Banderas, who plays Puss in Boots, and then Selma Hayek, who plays Kitty Softpaws. And they both talk about the importance of the Latino representation in this kind of movie, where they're not the bad guys. And also they talk about, they don't even have to mention that they're Latinos. It's just that they're in the movie. And that's what I like about where we're headed to, where you don't have to specifically say, oh, this is this community and they're the good ones or the bad ones or any of those things. It's just they're in the movie and these are the characters. And that's that perfect sweet spot I hope we get to one day, when all races, genders, sexual orientations can be in a movie and you don't have to say, oh, hey, this is the first time this is happening. This is the first time this is happening. That's where true movie entertainment will come from, where it's not like, oh, gee, this is the first time. Wow. Which is very important and great. But getting there and not have to say that, and just these are just actors playing a role. And it's really cool hearing him and her talk about the community and just how proud they are to be part of this kind of project.
Something that has happened from the beginning has been actually supporting the idea of diversity and being in that way very openly natural as considered human beings. And without, regardless, you know, the color of their skin or the accent that they have or where they're coming from, what is their religion. You know, I mean, the fact that the hero has an accent and the bad guys don't, it's very interesting, you know, for our community. And especially because this is getting in the brain of kids. I mean, they're growing with that idea that they don't establish a relationship between bad things and accent. You know, it treats my community, I think, always did, every movie in which Puss in Boots has been there, very fairly, very.
It's very exciting that this movie, to me, was maybe the first movie or the first really big animated movie that had the male lead and the female lead to be Hispanics. And so 11 years later, it's even more meaningful that now the third lead is also Hispanic, Harvey Guillen. And so I'm really proud because the film is not about being Latino or Hispanic. It's very universal, but we just happen to be a couple of cats that are very passionate. And now there's one dog, not as passionate as the cats, but irresistible.
Very well said indeed. I knew they could explain it far better than I could possibly say it. Now, coming up next, we're going to hear from Harvey Guillen, who plays Perito, who's a dog pretending to be a cat. And he talks about what he hopes people could take away from this film.
You know, the one thing I think you can take away from Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, is that sometimes the wish that you wish for, it may be something you already had in you or already in front of you. So sometimes we long for something or an aspiration, or the grass is always greener on the other side. But sometimes you got to stop and realize that the wish that you had a while back might be the wish that you're living right now. And so it's a good reminder to always look around and be grateful for the wishes that already have come true.
And he has such a great point, because I know for sure I'm one of those people who always, all through life, dreaming of this, dreaming of that. Oh, poor me. Why can't this happen? Etc., etc. But every once in a while, you got to stop and look around and go, oh, I got it pretty darn good. And I'm not saying everybody should do that, because not everybody has it, you know, good per se. I'm just saying, generally speaking here, people, just big picture, like, we always think, I want a bigger house, bigger car, whatever it is you think you want or need, or I need to be with that person, whatever it is. It's like, you got to just sit back some time and go, dudes, I'm doing pretty solid. Relax. It's all going to work out, or work out how it's supposed to. Now, up next, we're going to hear from Antonio Banderas, And he talks about this is legacy, about doing this for so many years.
I have been doing actually sessions of Puss in Boots for 12 years consecutive. This was the longest space, but now it seems like the right time just to pick up Puss and just throw him back to the big screen, the place where he belongs.
And let's just give credit where credit is due. He has created an iconic character. You can't see anybody else doing this role. And I would love to find out, you know, what does he think of it? What does he think when he's making this voice, is creating this character? He just must love it. I would think that something you've created has lasted this long and he can still go back and keep doing it, because I love it. I could just watch these kind of stories all the time because they're fun. There's always a little message and just adventure. And you know the commitment they make, so much commitment involved in making this kind of film, from the animators to everybody involved. You can just feel the passion. And I just hope they keep going. And who knows where they're going to go with these things. You know, it always changes. But I know, just speaking selfishly for me, I would love if they keep making these movies, because they're so fun. Now, I hope you enjoyed our in-depth look at Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. Now, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, any way to improve the show, please let me know. cinemajudge@hotmail.com, because I can't grow if I don't know. And you can visit me almost anywhere. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. I even have a couple Facebook pages and groups. Check it out. Drop me a line. Reddit, Pinterest, Flipboard, almost anywhere you go out there and look. WordPress. If you guys want to reach out, tell me what I'm doing right or wrong. I would love it, because I want to grow. I want to do better. I want you to keep coming back. If you think the show's lousy, how can I do better? So give me a call, drop a line, whatever you want to do. I'd love it. Or if you want to watch the TV version of this, go to Bloomington, Minnesota's webpage, or look up bit.ly/cinemajudge. Several shows should be there on demand whenever you want to watch. Because this kind of episode in particular, with the in-the-studio stuff, it really is kind of fun to watch them just doing their thing and doing the lines over and over again and watching them interact with the people like behind the glass. But now it's my favorite part of the show. This is where I thank you, every one of you who listened to the last episode. I always give you a shout out. But some of you might say, hey, I listened to a back catalog. I didn't hear you mention me there, buddy. Well, that's almost impossible to find out and see. But rest assured, anybody who listens to those old episodes or from a couple weeks ago, a couple years ago, it shows up. But me being able to tell who, what, when, where, why is virtually impossible. But I see it, and I always give a standing O in my little head, going, yes, somebody listened to an older episode. So I do see it, but I don't give a shout-out for all those other ones. It's just for the last episode. So for all you around the world, I hope my voice finds you well. Because often you guys tell me you listen when you're driving to work, driving home from work, sitting at home, brushing your teeth, whatever you're doing. It's just spectacular. So wherever, whenever, or whatever you're doing, this is for you. All listeners from the United States, a ton from Germany. Thanks so much, Germany. Same thing with Canada, United Kingdom, Qatar, Egypt, Turks and Caicos Islands, and Chechnya. You guys are incredible, every one of you. And a lot from Los Angeles. Thanks so much, Los Angeles. I really appreciate it, California. St. Paul, Minnesota. Minneapolis, Minnesota. Madison, Wisconsin. Santa Clara, California. British Columbia. Pasadena, California. Huntington Beach, California. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Worthing, West Texas. Providence, Rhode Island. Farmington, Minnesota. Holyoke, Mass. Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. St. James, Minnesota. Munich, Bavaria. Frankfurt, Main Hesse. Doha and Doha. Man, that one was horribly wrong, but I thank you. And then Ismailia, Governmente, or something like that. And Searland. All you guys that I butchered right there, I am so grateful you take time out of your busy, busy life to listen to this show. I truly thank you. I tip my cap to you. Every time I see a name pop up, I always do a little happy dance. Just because I butcher your name doesn't mean that I don't value it and just get so stoked that somebody took time to listen to the show. So to each and every one of you, thank you. Now, this week's bourbon shout-out goes out to Shelly Amber, a.k.a. The Favorite, known by her friends, and Chastity, who works at Walgreens. To you three, cheers. But now, it's the music section. If you're a regular listener, you know what this is. You know that this is a TV show originally, then I turned that into this being the podcast. But when I'm doing the TV version, I'm able to crank tunes, escape into my little world, and edit, listen to movies. It's my dream little world. It's my little cozy spot. But then I'm just cranking the tunes, and I'm usually all over the place because I can. Here, obviously, I can't because, you know, things have to be quiet. But when I'm doing that, I'm blaring the tunes. And this week, I was kind of all over the map for music-wise. I first started off with Brandi Carlile. I mean, just tons of tunes. And I don't think I even listened to a specific album. I was just pouring through a whole lot of her stuff just randomly. I just kind of set up a little random thing there, and voila, there I went. And then I went on to David Gates. You might say, who's David Gates? He's one of the singers from Bread. And I listened to his album, Goodbye Girl, from, you know, many years ago. But I haven't listened to it in years. And it's just stellar. That's David Gates, Goodbye Girl. Then I moved on to England Dan and John Ford Coley. And I just put on their greatest hits. And that's, again, happy place for me. Then I moved on to Styx Greatest Hits. What a great album. Just loaded. Just, I could go on and on. And then I moved on to the great, late Stevie Ray Vaughan. That guy is just, he was epic. His whole soul was played into his guitar. Just so many hints of Hendrix, but he was his own man. He wasn't just like a carbon copy of Hendrix by any stretch of imagination. But he had this bluesy quality to him. It was just magical. If you ever have a chance, throw down some Stevie Ray Vaughan. Put on his greatest hits. It's just magnificent. And then I switched gears again, and I went on to Air Supply's Greatest Hits. Hey, come on. Great tunes. Then I moved on to some Billy Squire, Bob Seger, and I did some Boston. I did specifically Third Stage. That is just a magical album for me. If you ever have a chance to listen to the Boston album, Third Stage, it is just epic in my mind. It's almost like a concept album, and it's just incredible. I can't play that one even lightly. For me, I just crank that one up, and away I go. Endless songs on there. And then as I was winding down, I threw on Dr. Hook. I have a whole collection that I made up of their other songs because they have just incredible tunes. Dr. Hook, you got to give them a shot if you've never listened to them or if you haven't listened to them in a while. And then I was nearing the end of the show, so then I threw on some Def Leppard. And you can't go wrong with Def Leppard. Again, just their catalog is magnificent. Well, that is it. My glass awaits. I'm thirsty. So cheers to you and to the movies. So until next time, be well, be good, and I'm gone. I'm Jeff. Thanks for listening to The Cinema Judge.